Okay, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going to try and get done here in about 10 or 15 minutes. So hang on to your seats, because I'm going to talk a little faster than I normally do. But anyway, we'll go ahead and get started here. For the last couple of years, Denny's been talking on and off about elders. We've been thinking about this on and off again for a couple of years. So he's been talking about that. So what you're going to hear this morning, and you already have, is kind of a repeat of things that we've already heard. As a matter of fact, I'm going to repeat some of the things that Wayne was talking about. And I will have to tell you, I got a little nervous whenever he started talking about Matthew 20th chapter, because that's where I'm going. And I thought, oh no, we're going to be hearing the same thing. But I'm going to have a little bit different approach. But anyway, it is going to be a little bit of the same here. But anyway, and again, I like to start off where Denny was talking about last Sunday, and that was in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. But I want to zero in on a section here, which Wayne has already talked about, and that is the phrase there in 1 Peter 5:3, where it says, not lording it over those allotted to you. And I think that not lording it over is the same as being an authoritarian. And I think, well, the definition of authoritarian is favoring or enforcing strict obedience to authority, especially that of the government, at the expense of personal freedom, showing lack of concern for the wishes or opinions of others, domineering or dictatorial. Okay. Now, I know that the church, God has set down some rules, some laws that we live by. Opinions can't change that, but not to listen to other people's opinions, that's a part of being authoritarian. And I don't think that that's what the kingdom of God is talking about when it talks about different things in the Bible. I don't think that this situation was ever set up for a man or a group of men or people to have the type of authority I just talked about over another. I don't think that that was ever set up by God. As a matter of fact, I believe that this concept was forbidden by Jesus in the New Testament. And this goes to where Wayne was talking about in the Matthew, the 20th chapter. I'm not going to take time to read this, but what happened there, if you want to follow along, turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 20th chapter. What happens here in verse 20 and 21, the mother of James and John, she comes to Jesus and she has a request of Jesus. And the request is this. Jesus says, what do you wish? And she said to him, listen to this. She said to him, command that in your kingdom that my sons will set one on your right hand and one on the left. Okay? That's what she wanted. She wanted her sons to be in places of authority. And I thought that was interesting that she used the word command. Jesus, command that this happened. Okay, and then you go down to verse 24. The other 10 heard this. They heard this going on. They found out about it, that James and John went and asked Jesus, because he directs them, so they were in on it too. So the other 10 become indignant at this. Well, why do you think they became indignant about that? Why did the other 10 become indignant about them making this request? I believe that that was because that they knew exactly what James and John was asking Jesus. They were asking him to place us in authority over the other 10. I think that that's what was going on. And of course they became indignant. Okay, so that was their concept of the kingdom. Okay, now in 25 and 28 of that same chapter, Jesus kind of brings them together. He calls them to him and he explains how things work. Wayne talked about this, how things work in the kingdom. Verse 25 and 28, he calls them. And in verse 25, Jesus says, he talks about the rulers of the Gentiles. He says, they lord it over them. That's how the rulers of the Gentiles operate. They are authoritarians. And another thing he says, in verse 25, the great men exercise authority over them. Go to verse 26. Jesus says, it's not this way among you. That's not the way it works in the kingdom. You're not going to be an authoritarian in my kingdom. It doesn't work like that. And then, again, Wayne already brought this up. Says, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Verse 28. He says, or verse 27, whoever wishes to be first among you will be your slave. And then verse 28, he says, Jesus says, you know, I didn't come here to earth to be served. That's not the reason I came here. I came to serve, even to the point of giving my life. Okay, so the point is that I don't believe, as Wayne has already said, that elders are not to be placed in a situation where they are an authoritarian over anyone else. Okay, they are to serve. And Denny talked about that lots of times in his lessons. It's easy to get that idea to come into the church, because in the world that we live in, you know, that's the way production plants are run. I mean, somebody's overseeing it. You know, somebody tells you, you do this. There has that type of authority over it. But other words here, and a couple other words we want to talk about here, is ruling, and this has all been covered before. Ruling is just leading and guiding and caring for. Overseeing is not, is just that. Overseeing, overlooking, watching over, watching for. Not ruling, not domineering or dominating or operating. One last thing here we want to talk about is over, and this has been covered also, over in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. Don't have time to read that. Briefly, I'll summarize that. You probably already know what that is in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. Ezekiel is told to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The shepherds of Israel. And the reason he was told to prophesy against them is because they were not doing the things that a shepherd should have been doing. Okay? And a shepherd, we're talking about shepherds of a nation. These are the people that should have been providing direction for the people. But they weren't doing that. And that's why they were told to prophesy. Ezekiel was told to prophesy against them. Okay? But what we can do, and we did this, I think, I don't know if it was last week or maybe the week before, we talked about the shepherds, and again, they were prophesied against because they were not doing what they should have been doing. But we can learn what a shepherd should be doing by what they weren't doing. So if you want to turn to Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, I'm going to go ahead and just look at a couple verses or some verses there. Again, we can see what a shepherd should be doing because of what they were prophesied against for not doing. In verse 2, it says to feed the flock. NIV says to take care of the flock. Verse 4, they were to strengthen the sickly. The NIV uses the word weak there, strengthen the weak. They were to heal the diseased, bound up the broken, or bound up those that are injured. They were supposed to bring back the scattered. Again, bring back those that were straying, seek the lost. And NIV says that they should be searching for the lost. Okay, and so that's how I envision the eldership, as doing those type of things. Feeding, strengthening, looking to those that are injured. And I think, you know, a lot of times that can be a physical thing, but I also think that it's a spiritual thing, a spiritual weakness and those type of things. That's what the concentration of the elder should be, I believe. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be done in the church. You know, somebody's got to decide, you know, what color the bathroom should be painted. You know, how many songs we should be leading each service. You know, those things have to be dealt with. I don't think that elders, not that they can't be involved in those situations, but, you know, I believe they need to be spending more time doing these other things, looking for the spiritual well-being of the members of the congregation. And again, to make the point again, some things not to do. In verse 6, of Ezekiel 34th chapter. It says that there that what they did is that the shepherds of Israel, they ruled harshly and brutally, that's the NIV, with the flock. And again, we know that Ezekiel prophesied against them, and they were criticized, and they were reprimanded severely for their action and strongly. Again, real quickly, that's kind of what I envision the work of an elder as, of course, along with the things that Wayne went over also. So, in a nutshell, that's kind of how I see it. As one that is a servant is watching out for others. Okay, so those are that's that. Now what I would like to do is offer the invitation, and I would like to go back to what Clinton was talking about this morning. I had that verse written down, and I was going to use that for the invitation. Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 10. I'd like to read that and make a couple of comments, and then we'll stand and sing the song for the invitation. Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 10. It says there, "While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for the righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So we can see again in that section of Scripture that Christ was willing to come and die for us, even though we were enemies of Christ, and that he cared for us even in that situation. There's a lot of things you can look at there, and one of them is that, yeah, you can see that Jesus died for us. That's what we concentrate on a lot, that he reconciled us by his death. But also we can see a couple of other things there. In verse 9, it says that much more than having been justified, it's more than being justified, Jesus died for us. What's the last part of that verse say? It says, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. That's a big deal too. For those of us that are Christians, we not only have been justified, much more than that, we are also going to escape the wrath of God, which at some point will come. And I think there was another thing, and verse 10 again talks about the reconciliation. Okay, so those are some benefits of a Christian. Justification, saved from the wrath of God to come, reconciled to God, made right with God. So, as way of invitation, if you're in the audience here this morning and you are not a Christian, and you've heard of what Jesus has done for you, and you would like to respond to that invitation at this time, and you'd like to be justified, be just, be right in God's sight, and be saved from the wrath of God to come, be reconciled, well, this is the time to do that.